نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم. The Quran has a magnificent effect on the hearts, the minds, as well as the ears. At the beginning, when the verses were revealed, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ and قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would exert himself and perform tahajjud the entire night until other verses were revealed. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. So initially, the entire night would go in the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Its effect obviously was very magnificent. The reciter is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The word is of Allah Ta'ala's, and the time is at night when everything is quiet, calm, so it must have the desired effect. Even the great enemies, Abu Jahl, Akhnas bin Shuraik, would take all the time and listen to the recitation from the setting of the night right till the morning. They were so overwhelmed with the recitation, captivated, that they couldn't resist. It continued for some time. Then Akhnas, he had seen Abu Jahl and spoke to him in confidence that, you see, it's just me and you. I want to know from you that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is he true? So he says, definitely, why not? He's definitely true. Then what stops you from entering his creed, his religion? So he says, that you see, they became the custodians of the Kaaba Sharif. So we were not anywhere behind them. So we also were equal, neck to neck with them. They became the custodians of the Kaaba Sharif, the most significant point of all the Arabs, and later on to Muslims and Islam. So we were neck to neck with them. So we were nowhere behind them. Then they were the flag bearers of the nation, and we also competed with them. We were also the flag bearers. They are Banu Hashim, we are Banu Abd Shams, but we are equal to them. But now a man from amongst them claims that he receives inspiration from Allah Ta'ala. And this, obviously, we can't compare with them, we can't compete with them in that respect. For that is now, obviously, يَخْتَارُ مَا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. That's subject to divine selection. It's not of one's own achievement, one's effort. It's divine selection. Allah Pak has selected whoever He pleases. But now, that we can't compete with them, can't compete with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that regards, so we resolve to oppose Him until our dying day. Because we can't be suckers and be below them, as though they are dominating and we are the ruling class, we are the rule class. We can't allow that to happen. So the problem in these people was not that they didn't understand that this was the truth, but if you analyze the story carefully, then it was the ego. And that's the thing, the main obstruction on the path of righteousness is to smash down and to break down the ego. What you may say, pride, call it arrogance, call it attitude, call it being haughty, all is one and the same thing, it's just different names but for the same thing. And Allah Pak says himself, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ. The kafirs, they are steeped in this arrogance, this self-glory, and in a path of opposition. They don't want to go in, because if they accept, that means they are humbling themselves. And then they will have no status left, because they humble themselves. So this was the reason for the failure and the collapse of Shaitan. When Allah Ta'ala spoke to him, مَا مَنَعَكَ, then he says, أَنَا خَيْرٌ, I am superior. Why must I bow down to someone that is inferior? Again, the self-glory, the ego, that haughtiness had the better over him, and he refused. And that was the thing that brought about his eternal destruction. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And it's an eternal curse. Till the end of time, the curse of Allah Ta'ala will remain upon you. Again, if you look at Iblis, Shaitan, from another perspective, there wasn't a place in the heavens that he didn't bow down in prostration to Allah Ta'ala. But then his haughtiness and his pride had the better over him, and that brought about his eternal failure. Then if you look at Fir'aun, the same thing. That haughtiness and the pride had the better over him. أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينٌ. Your people are running after Musa alayhi salam. Am I not better than this person that is a despicable wretch and he can't express himself? Am I not better than him? So he looked at his status, he looks at how people view him and not how he's supposed to be viewed by Allah Ta'ala. So that brought out his eternal collapse. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمْ وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. That we took him and his people, his armies, we flung them into the ocean, and then وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً, we made them people that will lead people through the fire. But again, the thing that came on the path was this ego, haughtiness, pride, arrogance. This was the thing that came in between. So now when this is such a major obstruction, then there must be a major solution for it. Because every man has got some part of that. Some feeling for haughtiness, status, pride. And now with the cell phones and the selfies, everybody feels that, no, I also got a right to expose myself and to express my greatness, my status amongst people. What am I? What my car looks like? And the holidays, how I spent my holidays, what was the type of hotel, what was the type of food, and my qurbani animal, how it's looked at. So everybody feels, now I got a right to do it. In Arafat now, and how do I appear amongst the rest of the crowd in Arafat? What's my status? What's my position? So I must take a photo of that as well. So everything is about me, my status, how I appear amongst people. And the path of righteousness requires that you smash yourself and you try. Your obsession now is, how must I appear before Allah Ta'ala? Not how do I appear amongst people, but how should I appear before Allah Ta'ala? Because you're saying repeatedly, Inna ilayhi raji'un. La abudu alladhi fatarani wa ilayhi turja'un. We started the whole journey on earth from Allah Ta'ala, and we're ending up with Allah Ta'ala. مَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. We start the whole journey from Allah Ta'ala, and we're returning back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So I need to see how would Allah Pak like to see me. That's the obsession, that's the concern, that's the major worry. Otherwise, it's just a short probationary period. Enjoy a little bit, but understand that this is just a transit. It's a transit and a departure lounge. We have to leave just now. It's not a permanent abode. The mistake is where we think that this is a permanent thing and make the best of holidays, best of homes, best of cars, best of foods. So when we begin to consider this, count this to be a permanent abode, then this is where we go wrong. We think, all right, it's a transit lounge, departure lounge. I'll be here and I'll be gone. I just need to see that I'm comfortable on the journey, not to make an impression upon people, not for that. So Allah Ta'ala says in this surah, he speaks about that Dawud alayhi salam, that these kafirs are steeped in self-glory, self-admiration. So the nations of the past, that's what happened to them. وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Jews and the Christians, that they wish to bring you back to kufr, through the social media, to other platforms, through business perspectives, right? So what's the whole idea? The idea is that they must also bring you to kufr. Because they become the agents of shaitan. They became the agents of shaitan. Then shaitan had sown لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I will throw them off the path. So someone I'll throw them off the path under the pretext of intelligence and reasoning, science, evolution, devolution. So I'll take them, throw them off the path through this. So he feels he's a very bright person and he doesn't need any explanation because he's very bright. And bright means that he's right. So this is how he analyzes life. And the others that were thrown off the path, why they were thrown off the path? Because of temptation. So one, because of name and status, he made the religion a racial thing. When he made it a racial thing, so it's confined to a race. So that was one group. And the other group was thrown off the path because of temptation. So temptation, what it amounts to, instant gratification. You want satisfaction, but you want the satisfaction immediately. So when you are aspiring for that immediate gratification and satisfaction, then you're not worried about crossing and breaking lines. This is the line I need to remain. Because now your goal is instant gratification. I need to be keeping myself happy, satisfied. So I break this line here, I break the halal and haram line, and I'm just moving. How my eyes are being used, how my tongue is being used, how my ears are being used, how my time is being used, I'm not concerned about it. As long as I feel myself to be gratified, and I need it to be immediate, it must be instant. So one group went off in this way. One went off because of ego, pride, shaitan and company, and one went because of lust, that he wants that gratification and wants it straight away. So in the process, he's not worried about breaking lines. So if it is that he has to involve himself in interest, he does not worry. Gambling, not worried. Interest, not worried. So long as I get that instant gratification. So I'll use different pretexts just to justify that. Because now, he won't want people to say, but you're involved in haram. He won't want that to happen. So, in order to appease people's minds, you have to have a nice pretext. You know, but so-and-so said it, and this group also said it, and this group seems to be Islamic, you know, they write Islamic. So this is how he'll justify and appease his side. So two groups went off like that. And the third group was of idolaters, and they also went off, but they went off not because of religion. Some groups went off because of religion. They misinterpreted. And some, their religion was just a philosophy. So they themselves say that it's not a religion, it's just a philosophy. So then this philosophy doesn't work right, because in that philosophy, they made, someone made three gods, someone made 550 million gods. But now the philosophy, why it doesn't work? Because he's thinking to himself, if I please this one here, I got multiple bosses. Rajulaini with the Shaki Sain. I got multiple bosses, and the bosses are variants, they're fighting all the time, right? So he's worried now, if I please this boss here, that boss is going to be not pleased. If I try to please him, he'll be angry. So what must I do? So this creates another confusion in his mind. Confusion within a confusion. First of all, I took the wrong people as bosses, and the bosses are at variance with each other. Now which one must I please? So all hasadam min indi anfusim. Allah Pak says, but the catalyst, what's the actual reason? It's jealousy. Min ba'di ma, they know that this is true. They know that this is the word of Allah Ta'ala. But then, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. The whole desire is that you must also join us to the trip to Jahannam. The trip onto Jahannam, you must join us. So they'll come in different pretexts, sometimes education, sometimes media, sometimes wealth, sometimes gratification. So different pretexts they come. So in the words of the Quran Sharif, Allah speaks about a story that can succumb, that you can succumb, you can overcome all this thing here. So, Abdana Ayyub speak about our servant Ayyub alayhi salam. So why Allah Ta'ala speaks about them? Because these people, akhlas naum, bikhalisatin dhikrat dar. The whole concern was, your journey to the akhirat must be a safe one. Looking forward to the journey, we're looking forward to Jannat, right? You want that in this whole journey, you don't have any problems throughout the journey. And as you're ending, you are eager to meet Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is longing to meet you. So these people were specially prepared. Allah has prepared them. Why? To lead people to the righteousness, a safe journey to the grave, a safe journey to your eternal abode, that is Jannah. So now, then you have to look into their stories and how did they conduct themselves. إِنَّا سَخَرْنَا الْجِبَالَ مَعَهُ يُسَبِّحْنَا بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِشْرَاقِ وَالطَّيْرَ مَحْشُورًا. So Allah had subjected the mountains and the birds to glorify Him. All in unison and all glorifying the praise of Allah Ta'ala. The birds are singing the praise of Allah Ta'ala. The mountains are repeating the praise of Allah Ta'ala with Dawud alayhi salam. So now, just imagine for a moment you are making zikr and there's a whole crowd. And in the crowd there are birds that are singing Allah Ta'ala's praises. The mountains are repeating the praise of Allah Ta'ala. What a beautiful environment to be in, right? What a beautiful environment it will be, right? And therefore, our ulama and our leaders, our great people, have encouraged us that there must be some moment, some time in the day or the night that we sit together sometime with the family, or maybe in the masjid at a time that we don't disturb anybody, and all of us are engaged in zikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is doing his zikr, not obviously in chorus, but he is doing his zikr of Quran Sharif Tilawat, he is doing his zikr, he is doing. But now, what's the need to do it at one time all together? He's doing it, not in chorus, he's doing it himself. The reason is this, that when all are seated together, then every Muslim has got some good in his heart. And when doing it together, then his good is reflecting onto your heart, and your good is reflecting onto his heart. He must have the love of Nabi Sassam very greatly in his heart. But as he's making zikr, remembering Allah Ta'ala, the nur that is emitting, right, is bouncing off, it's reflecting onto your heart. And the good that you have got, maybe you've got the love of Allah Ta'ala at a very high level. So that ikhlas, the love of Allah Ta'ala, is then reflecting on that person. The next person may have the jazba and the feelings of being khidmat, serving people, right? So that is also reflecting. One person may have it in his heart, forgive people, be kind, overlook faults, but you be kind. Now that's his jazba, that is his nature, that is his makeup. Let me forgive people, let me be at the service of people. Now as he's making zikr, same emotions are given off and is reflecting. Now at the end of that sitting, now what happens is you're moving away some of your heart is now occupied with the love of Allah Ta'ala and ikhlas, some with the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some of being kind, some was to be forgiving, overlook, endure the people's faults, etc. And cover the faults. قُلُوا مَعْرُوفُ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهُ عَلَىٰ. One is a person is doing charitable works, but in the process he's hurting people. But better than that, what Allah Baqa says, good words, قُلُوا مَعْرُوفٌ, and covering of faults, is better than the charity that's accompanied with hurting people. You hurt persons, maybe emotionally, maybe verbally, maybe physically. Though you have done some charitable works, but you hurt the person. But better than all this is good words and covering the person's fault, not to sing people's faults and weaknesses. But you're talking about their weaknesses, it won't happen that you will push him down. Yes, you will go down. When you are, that's, you made it your business to talk ill of people, spread the word of evil, then you will go down, that person will be elevated because he's enduring, he's understanding what's happening. And he's got a forgiving heart, he's forgiving. But Allah is watching what you are doing. So, the good of one will reflect on the next person. So, this zikr of Allah Ta'ala, remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, is something very dynamic. Because you're speaking about the one that is most great, most exalted, might, glory, power, he's most great. And you're talking about him and you're repeating his name. Then you understand that when he's the greatest, he's full of majesty, full of glory, then I am nothing, I'm worthy of nothing. Then slowly and gradually, then that humility comes into your heart. Then the love of Allah Ta'ala, the sincerity comes into your heart, but provided it's done regularly, at home sometimes with children, the wife, etc., sometimes in the masjid, in a time that is not disturbing anybody, you engage it. Therefore, the hadith says, the Quran Sharif ayat, well, a zikrullah, but the greatest act is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. That's the greatest. Then the hadith says that, must I show you something that is even greater than your fasting? better than you giving charity, gold and silver in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Better than fighting in the path of Allah Ta'ala, giving your life, it's a remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. It's such a great thing. But then start it off, maybe we don't have the highest level of ikhlas immediately. Now we don't say that because I don't have the highest level of ikhlas, then I mustn't start off with zikr. Start it off. And as you start it off, then it becomes a routine. First it may be a little bit of a show, then it becomes a routine. And then the routine becomes an ibadat. But slowly you progress. But I say, no, I don't have the ikhlas, or that person doesn't have the ikhlas and he's doing it so loudly, right? So you will never progress. You're not going to stop him, but you're not going to progress. So the idea is to start it off. Take the name of Allah Ta'ala. First it may be a little bit of show, then it becomes a routine, then it becomes an ibadat, then you reach the level of sincerity. That's the grand result.